From Louisiana State University, this is Adolescence, the podcast framed by June Pulliam's Adolescent Literature course. I'm your host, Latricia Torres. Dystopian worlds, teenage romances, school stories, and problem novels. Young adult literature lines bookstore shelves, offering distraction and escape to readers. But have we considered the genuine social benefits of consuming these novels? These titles can positively impact and encourage a young person's social, psychological, and educational maturation. How does it do this, you ask? Assistant Professor of English Education at Auburn University, Mike P. Cook, says in his feature, Using Young Adult Literature to Question Stereotypes, Society, and Self, that young adult literature provides a relevant and important method for facilitating these conversations in more authentic ways, without them being tied to the heavy emotions that accompany current events. Essentially what Cook is saying is, by giving students a platform to explore new ideas, exercise empathy, and critically think, young adult literature allows individuals the opportunities to step outside of themselves and question everything they know. A transformation very similar to the one our lead characters undergo in these stories. Today's podcast focuses on the leading power structure in young adult literature and how it fosters conflict with the novel's protagonist and society. The conflict of individual versus society is a common theme in young adult literature. Usually, the young protagonist in a young adult novel undergoes a mental and emotional transformation that fosters new critical and individual thinking. This newfound rationality usurps society's common power structure. The individual conflict that the protagonist may face, however, can take on many forms. In Common Aspects of Recommended Young Adult Literature, A Historical Perspective by Margaret A. Johnson, which is an academic study that spans 20 years and observes the shifts in young adult fiction, we see the common themes and patterns that reappear in these books. Some of these commonalities, confirmed by the survey, include social taboos and issues like profanity and sexual references, social class representation, and family structure. Each of these themes found in Johnson's study establish and reinforce cultural norms that create constrictions on the main characters. In essence, YA novels are all about power. Who has it? Who doesn't? How it's being wielded? Roberta S. Trite says in her book, Disturbing the Universe, Power and Repression in Adolescent Literature, that in the adolescent novel, protagonists must learn about the social forces that have made them what they are. They learn to negotiate the levels of power that exist in the myriad of social institutions within which they must function. Sounds like a Pink Floyd song, right? All in all, you're just another brick in the wall. Some examples and combinations of these various conflicts that we discussed this far in our course include institutions of authority, like in The Chocolate War by Robert Cormier, or we have the Vigils, Trinity's not-so-secret society, enforcing social order and influencing the student body's attitudes and perceptions. This affluence is employed as a weapon against our main character Jerry as he refuses to sell chocolates for Trinity's school fundraiser, an act equated to treason by his peers in the administration. Cultural Norms on Sexuality in Annie on My Mind by Nancy Garden, with main character Eliza coming to terms with her sexuality as she falls in love with her female friend Annie, a relationship that rejects the approved ideas of love and morality preached at her conservative high school. And finally, social class structure that is reinforced by socioeconomic and racial stereotypes, in Tyrell by Coe Booth. This narrative ties together many of the common themes found in Johnson's study as we watch Tyrell, a young black man, be stunted by poverty, his lack of traditional education, and his life navigating the projects while avoiding crime and coming of age without a father figure or a stable home life. In each of these cases, we see that internal struggle of going against society or disturbing the universe, as they say in The Chocolate War, play out again and again. The chief characteristic being how social power is deployed under the course of the narrative. However, it's not until our young protagonists stand up for themselves and reject this toxic cultural hegemony that we see them attain any semblance of true happiness or profound understanding. Thank you for listening.